Okay, so let's open chapter 12. We're in praise and worship. Praise and worship, as we talked about, we were talking about prayer is an integral part of your prayer life. A lot of guys, I don't know what it is about guys, but they hate praise and worship. You know what's really funny? We used to have about 100 men that would wait out in the foyer till after praise and worship was done, and then they would come in. It was amazing. I could never figure it out. What are they doing back there? But ultimately, they ended up coming in and getting involved in praise and worship. Praise and worship is a large part of your walk with the Lord. For those who aren't sure what's happening right now, we just are blowing a hole in the wall on the other side because we have those children's rooms on the other end. And all the people have to go down the adult wing. So now we're blowing a hole here, changing around a staircase so that the children will be able to go through the same hallway. So it makes it a lot easier. So if you're wondering what's happening, that's what's happening. Okay? So praise and worship. One of the things that people have, how do I say this really nice? You really can't. Yeah, you really can't say it nice.
Say it.
Because you can get sensitive. White people are really stoic. White people are really stoic when it comes to worship. And you know, people have said to me in our area, Pastor, this area is mainly white. Why do you do the type of music you do? Why is your worship pastor African-American? And I said, because it's simple. The face of heaven is not white.
That's right.
Amen.
It's not black.
Amen.
It's not Latino.
Amen.
It's not, we have 20 nations in this church for a reason, because our prayer has been, we want the face of heaven represented here, which means the diversity of worship. Some of you were here about 6 months ago. We had a woman, her and her husband were professionals, ended up moving out of the area, but she was from Nigeria. And you remember her?
Yep.
She would worship. Like, you remember her? She was like, she was, man, was she loud. It was awesome. Because you watch all the white people, they get jittery. I mean, she could worship. But a lot of people didn't realize is that was the style of worship that they had in Nigeria. And which is really exciting because our church is starting to work intimately with a church in New Jersey. It's a Nigerian church of 250 people. And I can't wait to have some of them out here and do some worship with our folks and scare y'all. So worship is a part of our life that there's a need to express yourself with emotions. A lot of people hate emotions. And they need to recognize you did not get them on your own. God created them. The only emotion that God has never experienced is what?
Fear.
Exactly. God has never experienced fear. Fear was birthed after the fall. Other than that, where do you think you got your emotions? You were created in God's image and in God's likeness. God gets angry. Thank God, not too angry.
Amen.
How many of us should be fry daddies? Hello. God, he gets frustrated. You know, we find that God is love. That's what the Bible says. God is love. So all these emotions that you and I have in our lives, God created those. They did not get distorted until after Adam and Eve's fall. Before the fall in the garden, it was a pure emotion, and it was absolutely beautiful. What's happened in today's Christianity, in today's world, is a lot of people look at somebody that's very expressive in worship, and they say, oh, they're just into emotionalism. Well, duh, of course they're into emotionalism, because you're an emotional person. What's happened to a lot of wounded people is their emotions have been so wounded, they now have difficulty even showing expression to the God that loves them. And there's a necessity for every single one of us to start learning that worship and praise is part of our lifestyle. This is who you are. This is not something you do on a Sunday morning.
Amen.
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 Praise and worship is not a Sunday morning experience.
Amen.
This is a lifestyle experience. One where you and I, we live worship. But what happens again, because of people being stoic, now I'm from New England. I don't know if you've seen stoic people until you've been to New England. When you're in Boston, you don't even look at anybody in the eyeballs. It's just something you don't do. Yeah, they just, this is what they do, ready? You look at somebody in Boston in their eyeballs, they go like this. Or they, what's your problem? People just don't want to show emotions. And the problem with that is we're disconnecting ourselves from what God wants to use in our life for expression towards love for Him and love for each other. And the reason that people are in that position is because hurting people hurt people. The Bible says, I pray that you'll prosper in all things and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. Now, we've talked about the difference between the spirit, the soul, and the body. How many of you got a body? Pinch the person next to you, make sure they have one. Very good. You are a spirit. The Bible says that we were created in God's image, that God is a spirit. John chapter 4, verse 24, God is a spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. You are a spirit person. What does that mean? That means you're eternal. Every human being is eternal. Now, the difference between an animal, you've heard people say, well, I'm just another animal in the field. No, you're not. The animals in the field have not been created in God's image. They have a soul, intellect, emotions, and will, but they do not have a spirit. Therefore, animals are dichotomous and humans are trichotomous. Animals are not eternal. Humans are. So as you and I are created in God's image and in God's likeness, there is something that He has placed within us, and that is called emotions. And that is within your soulish realm. So what happens is this. When you have had somebody wound your emotions, most individuals do not get healed. They become callous. Again, I'll say the statement, hurting people hurt people. It is true. And the reason is because they're always on the defense. And the challenge is, when your heart has not been healed, I pray that you'll prosper in all things and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. So your financial prosperity, your health prosperity, depends on your soul prosperity. Which means, if you are unhealthy, you have been unforgiving, you are holding bitterness, you have wounds or a broken heart, which Jesus promised to come and heal in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. He said, I've come to heal the brokenhearted. If we are unhealthy in our soulish man, our intellect, our emotions, and our will, then we will be people, when it comes time for worship, will never truly break free and loose, because we're always afraid or always guarded about what somebody's going to think, what somebody's going to feel, and or you yourself are so closed off to love that you have a hard time in really expressing that to Christ. And you know, that's not God's design. That's not God's design. God wants you healthy so you can express yourself in worship. And being a lifestyle, this is so powerful. There was a lady who brought her friend to church, and she sat on the back row. And the reason she sat on the back row, this wasn't in this church, but I mean you could see it happening here, is because on the last song of every single Sunday, this woman got up and started running around the sanctuary. Hallelujah! Woo! Running around the sanctuary. And she sat her friend in the back, so when that happened, they could escape. So she wouldn't see her friend get offended. See, she was wanted to make sure that her friend was not offended. And so what happened was, she took off on the second to the last song instead of the last song. After service, she went to her friend. She says, I just want to apologize for that lady. She goes, what do you mean apologize? She said, what do you think I want from church? I want to be happy. I want to have joy. I want to have love. I want to have freedom. That's what I want. What do you mean? That's not what it's supposed to be? See, this is where being a lifestyle, you need your heart healed. You need God to heal your soul. Some of you got such gaping wounds within your soulish man. You are so protective. And, you know, we did a sermon here years ago. It's on YouTube. You should probably get a hold of it. I don't know the name of it, but it was really good. So what you do... Let me tell you what to look for on the YouTube account. You'll see a brick wall. You'll see Bruce Girardi with his face in the brick wall with his hands around. Why? Because that's how most people live. They put on a fake face, and he had on one of those masks that distorted the face. You have a fake face on, and you've got a brick wall built in front of your heart, and the only thing that people can touch is your fingers. You do that because you're so protected because you've been so wounded. True. What we've got to get back to is, God, I need a healing in my heart. God, I need a healing in my soul. God, I need a healing in my emotions that have been damaged and wounded by betrayal, by those that have given me the Judas kiss, by those that have turned against me, turned away from me, whether it be your mother, your father, your husband, your wife, no matter what it would be, those wounds that you have in your heart are holding you back from truly expressing worship that God so desperately desires. He says, I inhabit the praises of my people. So listen, if you want more of the presence of God, you need to get healed. And some of you are the walking wounded. Some of you are actually the walking dead.
Healing journey classes begin in September for men and women. They really help you walk through how to be healed and stay whole. And when new offenses come, how to walk through them.
Listen. There's a class that we run, and some of you heard her and some of you didn't, and some of you are online. It's called The Healing Journey. I don't know why everybody hasn't signed up for that class. Just like I don't understand why we only have this many people in Rock Solid Faith, but we won't go there. That's my own personal opinion. Healing Journey, listen, if you're the walking wounded, you need that course. You need to go sign up for that course. You need to have a life transformed by that course. And it does exactly that. It gets in and heals you up. Mary Ann or Al Kinney. We'll go to the hub on a Sunday morning and say, I want to sign up for the healing journey. There's a cost to it.
Well, I didn't want to pay anything.
Cheapskate. You don't want to invest in your own life? Well, I don't have something. Sell something.
Amen.
When you want something bad enough, sell something.
Amen.
Listen, my wife tells me the allowance I get is all I'm getting. Yeah. So when it comes time for hunting season and I want something, I gotta sell something. Listen, if you want to get healed, sell something.
Amen.
You got a pair of shoes in the closet, someone will pay a quarter for them. You never know how they smell. So what I want to really get to us into our spirit starting off in this chapter is this is a lifestyle that you need to live. But, you know, your lifestyle is going to be severely challenged if you're not healthy inside. And God did not just save your spirit. Well, I asked Jesus in my life. I'm excited about that, man. Now you know you got eternity with Christ. But, baby, that's just the beginning because you ain't in there yet. I mean, you're not in heaven. How many of you recognize that this is not heaven yet?
Amen.
Anybody else? You are on drugs and need deliverance. We're not in heaven. So because of that, we're all going to have wounds. You know, I was just talking to an individual just recently, and they were saying, I don't ever want to go into the ministry. And I said, well, I mean, what are you talking about? And they had just got burned by someone, talked like really burned by somebody. I said, well, welcome to the ministry, because that is your life. You know, you invest, you love, you put everything in, and then it's the first people the people you invest the most in are usually the quickest to stab you and walk away. It's just a normal thing. And so you end up getting to a place where the cycle of love is your life. Every time you love, you become vulnerable. Every time you become vulnerable, it is inevitable. You will be hurt. And every single time you get hurt, you must forgive or you cannot love again. That is how God works with us. Aren't you glad God has the cycle of love in your life? How many of you have sinned? Everybody else just did. Hallelujah. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Just give you a heads up. You can imagine sin is an offense to God. And it's an offense that divides. That's why we need salvation through the blood of Jesus. And so what happens is, even God himself has to live within the cycle of love. Every time you love, you become vulnerable. Well, I don't want to become vulnerable anymore. I don't want anybody. I don't want my emotions on my sleeve. You know what that means? That means your love for people and for God is going to be stunted. Well, I'm trying to protect myself. I'm sorry. That is just really not an option. You've got to be willing to be wounded. You've got to be willing to be hurt. I see a lot of pastors, and a lot of them. And what's happened is they've transitioned from ministry to an occupation. And the way they've done that is because they've been wounded so many times, they don't want to forgive anymore. They don't want to make themselves vulnerable anymore. And you know, my wife and I made a decision when we started this church, because we knew what we were getting into. I'd already been in ministry years. I recognize that you cannot be in ministry, you cannot love people without getting wounded. Just can't happen. And if you're not getting wounded anymore, you know what it means? You don't love anymore. And if you don't love anymore, how are you going to live a life of worship? That's really serious. Some of you have been so wounded inside, you've encapsulated yourself to protect yourself, but you aren't protecting yourself. You're actually destroying yourself. Because you cannot ever love somebody without getting wounded. It can't happen.
When Genesis says the world was so wicked that it grieved God that he even made man.
What does that mean?
Yeah.
What does it mean when God was grieved that he even was sad that he created man? Simply that. You ever felt so like, oh crap. Man, I am so bothered. It's that twisting inside.
Was it to the point where, other than Noah, he was ready to just wipe?
That's what he did.
I mean, he did.
Man was so evil, and the Bible says that in the last days it will be the same. Pay attention now. They call good evil and evil good. I'm not a political person, but when someone can lie as much as they have, and then everybody still possibly vote for them, I'm not political, I'm talking morals, then we have been so twisted in our system that we no longer are based on morality and the kingdom. We're based on opinion. And good shall be called bad, and bad shall be called good. Let's look at it today. I just had a person tell me this. It should scare you. It should scare the hell out of everybody here in the room. It was a pedophile, and they had committed at least three different crimes against three teenagers under the age of 14. And in counseling, they were told, listen, there's really nothing wrong with that. It's normal. It's just that it's a crime. The counselor, the professional counselor. No, not at all. Because that's what they're training everybody in that facility. It's not wrong that you have lust and want to touch little girls and little boys. It's just a crime. Watch. Twist.
Yep.
Twist.
Harm their lives.
Twist. Twist. It's not considered bad anymore, just illegal. And watch, someday it won't be considered illegal. See, we're in a position now where, as believers, if you've ever had to get your heart, I'm not talking like you're not right with Jesus, your heart healed, it's now. Because if this world ever needs to see the light, it's now. If they ever need to see people who live the lifestyle of worship, it's now. But the body of Christ itself are the walking wounded. We're walking around with gaping wounds. We might not see blood on the outside, but inside, we're weeping and pussing. And we've got to get to the altar. Listen, you cannot rely upon the person who wounded you to get you healthy.
It's yourself. It's yourself.
You got to get on your face and let God heal your heart.
Amen.
God will do it.
And he will do it because he loves you. Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. And instead of building a wall that you got your fake face on and your arms are around the corner and making everybody think you're touchable, but you're not touchable. Yeah. You're not vulnerable. Listen, you think the world doesn't get that? You see, the more you live a lifestyle of worship, the more the presence of the Lord is with you. For he encompasses, he surrounds those that worship him. And so the word is inhabit, dwell. When he dwells with those who worship him, that means wherever we walk, we literally carry the presence of the Lord. And what people need is not a religious experience. Mm-hmm. They need the presence of Jesus.
That's right.
They need the power of God that will change a life. And that does not, Jesus isn't going to show up at your workplace. The only way he shows up is through you. So when we're not healthy, how will they ever be changed? I really feel alone up here right now. So my wife and I have determined, as many times as we've had knives, steak knives, butter knives, pitchforks, five fork, four fork, three fork, I have tire marks over the back of my head. I've been run over, stabbed, spit on, punched. I've had everything happen that you could ever imagine except being shot. Glory to God, we don't want to go there. That's why Terry's here, dear Lord. He can get shot. You would take one, my boy. But this is where we have made a decision that it's okay to be wounded. It's okay to become vulnerable. It's okay when people wound you. Because your worth is not, I don't know why we're going here, but we're here. Your worth is not based upon what people do or say about you. Your worth is based upon who you are in Christ.
That's right. Amen.
So when Christ is your value, when Christ is your worth, when Christ is your place of solidity in loving yourself, you're safe even with the wounds. Well, I'm not saying they don't hurt. Come on now. Let's be honest. Anybody who says they don't hurt is dumb. Wounds hurt, but they don't need to debilitate you. You don't need to walk around for years with gaping wounds. You need to get healed. And some of you in this room, without question, need to get healed. You need to get on your face before the Lord and wait on him until the healing comes. Yes? Absolutely. You need to, now listen, this, the challenge with this is, I got to repeat everything you say.
In our culture, we have been taught, and through magazines and articles, whatever, that if you are wounded or upset, there are basically certain psychological games and precepts that you can do to reduce the pain that you feel. It's not healing, but there are certain things you can
covers,
do.
Covers, masks.
Yes, it covers and masks, okay. But in Christ, there's a huge difference because there really is literally
healing
of that wound.
Exactly.
There is really available, true, genuine healing.
Right. In absolutely. In Jesus, there's true healing, not covers. Now, you've all seen me give this example before, but it is so good. In the third grade, I decided to whittle backwards with my father's utility knife. Now, for those who don't know what a utility knife is, it's a razor blade. So I'm holding this thing, and I'm whittling backwards, and shoop, it went right down to the bone. I'm talking like you could open it up, and you could see the bone. It's white. And it really didn't bleed. I mean, it was such a beautiful cut. It didn't even, like, goosh or nothing. And so, have you had it before? That's right. So here I am, right? You know, I went to the doctor and they put in 3 stitches and, you know, and I was the basketball star. I know that's hard to believe, but I was a basketball star. I was the point, you know, in elementary school, and we went all the way to the championship. Behave yourself in the back. And so, behave. It was time for the stitches to come out, and I was supposed to play point that night. And my father, who's cheap, looked at me and says, I can take the stitches out. We don't need to go to the doctor. So my father went and he took the stitches out. I mean, I trusted my father. He took the stitches out. And that night I went and I'm point, you know. So I'm playing basketball. I'm midcourt. And I turn and this kid pressed and it hit. Poosh. And literally, it literally blew up. I mean, blood was spurting, and blood was all over the floor, and I was covered with blood, and everyone's freaking out. Myself, I'm freaking out a little bit, too. There's a lot of blood. And because when it tore, I mean, it was a rip. And so, I mean, they're covering it, and the coach is freaking out, and they covered it, and my father was at that game. He's, you need to take him to the doctor. So my father took me home. We don't need to go to the doctor. We'll just, you know, we'll butterfly it, he says. We'll just butterfly it and put a popsicle stick on it. That's what he did. He butterflied it, put a popsicle stick on it. And let me tell you something. I mean, it is really a prevalent cut. It shouldn't have been that prevalent. Shouldn't have been that. No, it was only 3 stitches. And I'm talking like when it blew up, the pain was really intense. Now, watch. I can explain to you all the details of that entire experience. But watch. It don't hurt anymore.
All the nerves were cut.
No. He's so bad. Honestly, they were. We won't get into that. Okay. So watch now. I'm tapping it. I mean, the scar is still there. You can see the scar. Even with that hat on, you can see the scar. The scar is still there. I will never forget the story, but it doesn't hurt anymore. And some of you, it happened in the third grade, and you're still touching it, and it hurts. How do you know that? When you walk into the room with the person, you turn around and walk away. When you walk into the room with the person, you get that feeling, either being anger, frustration, irritation, or sadness. When you walk into the room, oh, that's right, you don't walk into the room anymore because now they own that part of your life and dictate where you go and don't go.
Ooh, controlling.
Every time you don't get healed of a wound, they now control a part of your heart. And they now dictate where you go and what you do. Isn't it crazy? There is such a need, if we're going to be worshipers, to get our own hearts healed. You need to be healed up. You deserve to be healed. Jesus already paid for it. Why are you still paying for it?
Amen.
You know, this isn't, I need this drug and that drug, and it will take the pain away. No, because someday, hopefully you come off those drugs, and then you still got to deal with the emotions. Learn to allow the Holy Spirit to heal you. Jesus came to do it. You need to get on your face. And listen, when you know you're not healed yet, you know it's not done yet, you know it's not complete yet, you know you're not whole yet, you know you're still the walking wounded, when they walk in the room and you still feel it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You need to get healthy because it's a big part of worship. And I always say this, ready? Two halves don't make a whole. So trying to find somebody else in your life that will fulfill that, it don't work because two halves don't make a whole until you're healthy. They can't fix it. Always remember this. The relationship in your life should always be the cherry on top, not the ice cream. I like ice cream too. We need to go. Maybe on the way to Albany tonight, we'll stop and get ice cream. Look at you, just ruined the whole class. My mind. So, talking about worship, the first thing I really wanted to do is get down to you need to get healthy. Because some of you, listen now, I'm going to be a little intrusive. Some of you sit in the back of the church. Now, I'm not pointing any fingers, but I'm just telling you the way it is. Some of you sit in the back of the church, and you don't worship during worship. Do you realize, I know this because the guests tell me. They tell me like this usually. I'm never going back to your church. And I say, what do you mean? Because all these people are talking back here, Pastor, during the worship and during your sermon. Like, we're not talking, they're whispering. They have full conversations. Hey, what do you think about what he's saying? Well, you know, I don't know. Let's go to get some roast beef after church or something.
Playing on your computer.
Yeah, or on your computer. I mean, full conversations. And the guests come to me and say, yeah, you know, your church is way too disrespectful. I'm never coming back. But, you know, see, to me, it's not about disrespect. To me is, if that is what's happening in your life, you're still wounded because you're not allowing yourself to show God emotion. And you're chatting and you're talking, either mean you don't know God or you've disconnected your emotions from God and don't want to express that. Some of the men in the room have been taught that you're not allowed to show any expression of love. You might have seen it through your parent who didn't kiss your mother, who didn't hug you and tell you that you were loved. You might have experienced that. And so what happens is you then expect to show that to God, but that's not health. As a man, it's okay to cry. My uncle's a big crier. My uncle cries all the time. It's funny, you watch Uncle Harold, the Spirit of God come on and he'll just cry.
Don't pick on
him.
Don't try to make me guilty.
Carl's the same way.
Amen.
He turns into a blubbering fool, man. It's just hilarious. But that's a compliment. You know, and what happens, John, you weep a lot too. There's nothing wrong with that, man. That is showing that you are alive. A man told me just the other day, he said, I hate crying. I said, no, it shows you're alive. You're still alive and your heart is still supple enough to feel something. Where a lot of people don't feel anything anymore.
It's a relief, too.
It's a relief.
Because you have sometimes God touch you. You get to lay it out, then you might have something that's trying to oppress you. And then with that cry,
just the release.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, it's okay to worship God. It's okay to raise your hands. It's okay to dance a little. You used to do it, you know, when you were drunk in the bar and act like an idiot. You know what I'm talking about. I love her. She's the most beautiful woman in the world. And it was a guy, and you didn't even know it. Some of you got to be drunk to show your emotion. By the way, unhealth. Remember, people medicate to cover. No, I'm just going out there to have a good time. No, because I don't care who you are. Beer, when you first tasted it, did not taste good.
Amen.
You got to acquire a taste. And we always know that hard liquor is a sin, so that's nothing even to hit. But most people medicate. I knew this one dude, he had one beer a night, and the doctors said, "Sir, you are an alcoholic," with one beer. And he only had one beer a night. But you know what? He had to have that beer a night. That was how he unwound, which means it controlled him. Listen, some of you medicate yourself. Well, I'm going to make everybody mad tonight. Listen, smoking won't send you to hell. You just smell like it. Yeah. But watch, why do people smoke? Oh, I'm stressed. Really? You have to medicate your stress with nicotine? See, a lot of us don't recognize that we're wounded. And we need to get back to why we're wounded. And we need to get healed so that we can worship. Because worship is a lifestyle. And you can't worship freely if you're all bound up. You can't do it. And we can be from every background there is in this room. Some of you are born in the palaces, and some of you are born on the streets. Some of you drive really nice cars, and some of you are still walking. You know, watch this. I love this dude, because let me tell you something. Come on up here. You walk how far to church?
4.5 miles.
He walks 4.5 miles to church one way.
Yeah, well, I get here.
Watch. In the winter and in the summer, he grew up hard. Am I telling the truth?
Yeah, right.
He grew up really hard. He didn't grow up in a real loving family.
That's right.
He had it hard. Some of you thought your life was hard. You have no clue. But Jesus touched his life.
Amen.
And what I do, you know where he stands? Not for one service, but for both services. Watch. He walks 4.5 miles to church. Then he stands dead center. And he worships God with his hands raised, showing God emotion. How is that possible? Well, no one's perfect. But you know what? He's chosen to allow his heart to be healed and not be controlled by his past.
Amen.
You're an awesome testimony, brother, and I love you. So what do you need to be healed of? You know, what are the wounds in your life that are stopping you from actually worshiping God in spirit and in truth? Yes, Lord. Oh. What are the wounds in your life that are stopping you from showing God the emotion that he really righteously deserves? Well, I'm just not an emotional person. You're a liar.
Yep.
And I can prove it. I'll take you out in the middle of the lake if you can't swim, and I'll drop you off and row away. I'm not giving you a life preserver. You are going to learn this. Help! You're not going to go, help. Help me, please. Please, somebody, come help me. No. You're going to be flaring your arms. You're going to be screaming to the top of your lungs for someone to come get you. Don't tell me you're not emotional. The fact is that you've just chosen to be behind the wall because it's safer. It's really not safer. It's just really lonely. Because remember, we don't all worship the same in expression. Remember Grampy? He's just laughed. Grampy would laugh. Some people cry. I'm not a crier. What happens to me when the presence of the Lord really gets on me is I just like zone out. See you later, bye. But you'll see me with my hands raised, shouting. I dance sometimes. Why? He deserves it. The Bible says he's spinning and dancing over you. Well, I'm just not that type of person. Who told you that? Why would you buy something that's not true? If you had a chance to buy a pair of Jordans, can I borrow a pair? Just want one. Now listen. You don't mind if I ask how much they were?
$120.
These are inexpensive. They are. They're inexpensive. Because Cody has some that are like $300 or $400 a piece. You got the deal? See, stuff. Cody does. He got like $150 and he'd sell it for $3. But Cody one day found a deal and a half on the web. So he bought like 5 pairs of Jordans for like $50 a piece.
Wow.
Took a long time to get here. They came from China. They were the fake Jordans.
Oh.
He was so mad because he bought something fake. Some of you have bought something really fake, and that is that you're not emotional and that you shouldn't show emotion to God. That's fake goods. And the main reason you're not, usually it's because you're hurt. But I want to tell you how to get healed. Get emotional. You might do it differently than somebody else, but you got to get emotional. Because you deserve to be free. You deserve it.
Pastor, are you talking about being around God's people or being out in the world? And the second half of my question is that it's obvious that we're surrounded by a world of hurting people, both believers and unbelievers. Can that be a good talking point when you're witnessing?
Absolutely. So let's talk about it. Worship is a lifestyle. If you don't dance at home, why are you dancing at church? You should be lifting your hands at home. I really was excited that I went out and bought another guitar. Actually, I sinned. I bought two. But I'm still paying for one of them. It was a really expensive guitar. And Jesus, help me. And but you know, I have it up in my man cave, and that's where I go to pray every morning, is my man cave. And every morning now, I grab that guitar. And you know what? I don't have to worry about anybody hearing me howl. It's early in the morning. My neighbor doesn't like me anyways. I'm already ahead of the game. And I just sit up there, and I worship, and I sing. And God don't care if I'm off tune or flat or sharp or just plain belly roll sad. All he cares is that those who worship him will worship him out of spirit and truth. Out of my heart, I worship God. And it's a lifestyle. What you see me do at church or not when I worship, I do in my man cave. It's life. And when you get healthy, you recognize that you won't just worship at church. You'll worship at home first.
That's right.
Because it's lifestyle. It's who you are. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. So when you're not praising the Lord, you know you're not healthy. Well, I don't do it like everyone else. Didn't say you had to do it like everyone else. But you got to worship.
I used to be that same way when I was here at church. I wouldn't worship.
Can you go a little bit louder?
I used to be the same way. I wouldn't worship. I wouldn't praise. But as you look around, everybody else is growing.
That's right.
So if you don't have to worry about nobody judging you, so mm-hmm. if you worry about somebody judging you, then you shouldn't be at all. You shouldn't be here.
That's right. I tell you, it's really interesting, and I just want to seriously challenge you. And we're going to end early tonight.
Harold's got to get home.
Uncle Harold's got to drive home on the whole motorcycle, but I got to go to Albany.
Only water.
Yeah, I just hate driving in the dark. We need a jet. We'll get into that later. You know, 30 minutes rather than 3 hours would be beautiful. I just really want to ask you to do me a favor this week. and that is take some time and get healed.
Amen.
Really ask. Listen, you can't heal yourself. This is not, hi, I can heal myself. This is where you have to actually get in the presence of the Lord, and you have to ask him to heal you. And you need to say this, Jesus, I need to be healthy. I need to be healthy. And you know where you're not healthy. You know it. You know it. This week, we probably aren't going to be early, but that's all right. This week, I've been woken up 3 times at 3 a.m. with dreams. No, I hate dreams. You know, I sleep maybe 6 hours a night, maybe. And I'm good with that. I'm happy because I don't need a lot of sleep. But I've been waking up like 3 times this week at 3 a.m. And the dreams were distinct about when somebody disrespected me. And in my dream, what woke me up was that my heart was beating so strong because I was either angry or frustrated. And I mean, I couldn't go back to bed. So I had to go to the man cave and pray it through. Because really what the Lord was showing me, these are areas in your life that you still haven't allowed me to fix. And there are wounds that, you know, you don't sit around thinking about, boy, where am I wounded today? we don't sit back and think about that. But honestly, there are times we have to. Because if you're going to really be a worshiper, you need to be healthy. Now, it's not that you can't worship God unhealthy, but you can't worship him the same. And he deserves worship. Did he not wash your sins away?
Yeah.
I mean, if you died right now, don't you know that you're going to be in eternity with him? You don't have to wonder. You don't have to say, I hope so. You could know so. Yeah. I mean, don't you know that he came to heal your body? He came to heal your mind. He came to heal your soul. He came to give you purpose and direction. And he came to show you how you weren't born 1,000 years ago. You were born right now for this exact time, for this exact season, for this exact portion of history, because he has a great plan for your life. Yeah. I mean, that's our God.
And our purpose to heal others.
But you need to get healthy yourself. Amen. So will you please do that this week? I know we really didn't open the book much. I did use one line out of the chapter.
That's good.
It's a start.
I have something to say about what you're saying, though. Also, besides worship, it could also affect what God has planned for you and your ministry and your calling.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Unforgiveness stops life.
Yes.
Getting in the protective mode stops life. Really, you do. You stop living because your memories are wrapped around the moments. And you deserve to be healed. So please get healed this week. Well, how do I do this? $49.95. How do I get healed? That means you probably should take a few hours and turn your TV off. Or take a few hours and say, God, this is your time because I need you. I don't only need you to save me so I go to heaven. Jesus, tonight I need you to start healing something supernaturally that I just can't do. I had a lady, she went to a counselor for 12 years. She paid $125 a week for 12 years. Now, I believe in counselors. I believe that they can help. But remember, a counselor who doesn't use biblical principle can only touch the mind, cannot touch the spirit. They can only touch the soul. And so the counselor was doing the best that they could to the soul that was wounded. So she came to me and she said, I'm on serious antidepressant medications. I've been going to the counselor for all these years. What do I do? And I said, it's simple. Every morning when you get up, I want you to pray in the Holy Spirit for the first 15 minutes. Don't talk to a human being. And then I just want you to ask God to heal your heart. And within 1 month, she was a changed person. No more anxiety. She went to the doctors and got off the medications. Why? Because she was allowing the Holy Spirit, who's real. He's not a fictitious individual that would seem to float around our religious little mottos. This is truly who God is in our life, and He wants to heal you. Please allow God to heal you. You deserve healing. Jesus paid it all. Don't stop at just going to heaven. I pray that you'll prosper in all things and be in good health even as your soul prospers. Be healed in your heart. Amen?
Amen.
That is the class for the evening. Let's get Uncle Harold home before he gets wet.